Oftentimes, when we've seen these different parasite programs over the years, they've talked about doing something for 90 days because they say the parasites have little kids and then grandkids and great-grandkids, and that's this whole cycle. Is that relevant if somebody's using turpentine for parasites?
No, it's not relevant because that same person isn't telling you to flush, 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 flush. And so what you do when you're having three bowel movements a day and taking turpentine is you interrupt their cycle. You step in and say, hey, you guys.
Oh, no more kids for you. Yeah, no more kids for you. You're out. You're out.
Okay. Out of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the teenagers, get the babies, get the grandparents, everyone. Out, right out, now. Out.
So do you have a general amount of how many days that you have to do to get a, say if somebody had, a reasonable, a 5 on a 10 scale of parasites, if 10 was the worst. I mean, how many days would you have to do it to get rid of those guys?
Some people do one dose and boom, they drop a load and they feel like $1 million.
Really?
And that's all they have to do, maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Wow.
Other people, they have to, do 3 times a week. It just varies depending on what the person's parasite load is and other cleansing that they're doing. Now, liver flushes greatly augment this because the real issue here is that the liver is clogged with stones and parasites and poisons. And so the liver flush gets the liver to release all these, and then they all leave at once. And they're like, well, wait, I was just getting ready to have some babies. And you're out of here. So you cannot, I believe, sit around and indulge their parasitic cycle. Oh, 90-day cycle. Okay, I'm going to wait. Oh, let's get really adults and wait for the babies to hatch. No. You got to step in, take control, and say, look, this is a human body, not a parasite mill. You guys are out of here.
So the general, the best thing to do would be get your candida cleanse on Vitality Capsules to really give folks the broad picture of
exactly. Get the report at vitalitycapsules.com. It's free. It used to sell for as much as $850.
Whoa.
So it's free. So get your copy for free. Don't let the price fool you. It's a great value. It's no charge. It can save your life. vitalitycapsules.com and get your free Candida Cleaner report. And it has been updated.
And boy, lots of questions are answered there. You've been doing this a long time, and you went through a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. I tell you what can go wrong and how to avoid it, what can go right and how to make it more likely.
Here's an email from John. He says, can Parkinson's be mostly reversed if it has been, say, 15 years since diagnosis, 73, doing full medication schedule, and freezing is occurring now?
Okay, so what is Parkinson's disease? So Parkinson's disease is a disease in the brain, and it causes a person to have tremors and jerky movements.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, my experience, Parkinson's can be reversed. You can get off your medications. My limitation is once you get in a wheelchair, I don't have a lot of luck getting you out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't mastered that piece. But definitely can get rid of those tremors and, get you back to smooth movement. Definitely get the Candida Cleaner report, get your Vitality Capsules, get started on the turpentine and Vitality Capsules, and you'll see a tremendous improvement.
Hmm. Again, the amount, dosage and time is just, people have to figure it out on their own, or do you give enough information on the Candida report, like in a Parkinson's situation?
No. The report is kind of just basically for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
So to get more individualized instruction or direction, people can go to the website and purchase a discovery session where they get to talk to me individually.
Oh, I've seen them work through it. So what's going on with the brain and turpentine and Parkinson's? I'm curious.
To be just plain blunt about it,
yeah,
is there are parasites that are literally eating the person's brain alive.
Oh, good.
And the turpentine.
Man, those guys go everywhere. What's up with that?
I tell you, they get around, don't they?
What is up with that? Really?
What is up with that, yeah.
Really? So taking the turpentine the way you suggest and sugar and all of that, it circulates through the whole body, I guess the whole system.
Well, turpentine's a solvent. It goes right through the blood-brain barrier.
But you caution about putting turpentine around your face and all that.
But it gets there through the blood and through other pathways.
Wow.
Right. To put it there directly doesn't allow for the dilution and other things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. Turpentine. A friend of mine, Doc, has been, ever since, had chemo. She had chemo about 30 years ago. She said the chemo almost killed her. You know, she's really got religion on that one. Boy, she's not going back to the doctor. God love her, you know, but she's...
Two courses will do. You're like, you know what? God is going to take me himself. I'm not going to let chemo do it for her.
She said, she's 90. She said, I'm not going back to the doctor. If I'm ready to go, I'm going to be right here. And she's great. She tries a lot of things. Very adventurous. And they've said that this thing that she has going on in her lungs is interstitial cell. Does that make sense? Something interstitial?
Interstitial cystitis?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's her body trying to get rid of the chemo, basically. And the kidneys piss out the chemo into the bladder. It irritates the bladder, and you get pain that mimics a urinary tract infection, even though you don't have a urinary tract infection.
And you have to pee a lot.
Correct.
Yeah, she wakes up and pees a lot. That's interesting. Say that again. So the body's trying to get rid of the chemo.
Correct.
How might she hasten that?
Well, there's two things to look at here. One is getting rid of the burning, because it's very painful. It's just terrible. What I found is turpentine helps with that. If you apply turpentine over your bladder, it literally gets rid of interstitial cystitis, which is a major, major discovery. Because before that, I used to have people go on a water fast for 10 days in order to flush out the chemicals and get rid of the interstitial cystitis. And so if you can do it just by applying a turpentine 2 or 3 times a day to your bladder and then increasing your water intake, then like, wow, that's huge. And then, of course, you have to increase your bowel movements, because if you increase your bowel movements, the same chemicals will preferentially leave through the liver intestinal route instead of through the kidney route.
She's been having trouble, actually challenges with that, with loose stools and having to go a lot during the day. So maybe the body's trying to continue to get rid of the chemicals.
Oh, in that case, she's already going, going a lot during the day. Then she can just add activated charcoal or clay, and that's going to soak up the chemicals and help her bowels be more effective in eliminating them, but it will also slow her bowel movement.
Yeah, I brought her some clay a couple of weeks ago. I kind of intuitively knew that. Good job. So you would actually take your fingertips, and I've given her some pure pine gum spirits, and put it right on her bladder.
Right on her bladder?
Right on her bladder. You know what was curious?
You don't know where your bladder is, ask Google.
Yeah, ask Google, boy. It'll show you right where it is. The reason I even thought about that a few minutes ago is because I know you're a big fan of Vicks, and she has Vicks, and she's been putting it on her chest for years with the lung thing, and I said, well, why don't you put a few drops of that, you know, pine gum spirits in there too, you know, slather that on your chest. And she called me back a couple of days and she said, boy, that really helped. She could feel the difference adding a little bit of turpentine to that. Isn't that cool? Man.
It's way cool.
How would you know how much you can put in there safely and add to the Vicks if you wanted to?
Are you adding it to the bottle of Vicks? Is that what you're doing?
I think she's putting it in her hand and putting a little bit of the turpentine.
Okay, so the rule of thumb is a teaspoon wherever you put it, drink it, put it on your body, whatever, a teaspoon a day is your maximum.
Okay, even next. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Teaspoon a day maximum. So if she has a glob of Vicks in her hand, she could get, you know, kind of adventurous with putting the turpentine and the Vicks if she wanted to rub it on her chest?
Again, you'd be shocked at how quickly a teaspoon can be dispersed. So a teaspoon is the limit. She's got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, a teaspoon a day. That's it. Otherwise, you get wacky, could you elaborate, Dr. Daniel, speaking of Vicks, on using Vicks Vapor Rub in the eyes? I can't seem to find any useful info on the net about it.
Not going to.
You're not going to.
You're talking to the only source. If you want research, I'd say, you know, just sit tight. maybe in 10, 20, 50 years, it might get done.
Well, refresh people's memory on what you said about that and why you would want to use it in your eyes.
So you take a, imagine a pea-sized portion of VIX. You can take a pea-sized portion or a quarter of that anywhere in that continuum. Pull down your lower lid, swipe it into your lower lid, blink, blink. You should be laying down in bed when you do this because you're going to, your eyes are going to glue shut. You're going to be, oh, it is going to burn, but the burn is going to be gone in about 2 to 5 minutes. And what this does is it gets rid of the parasites. They're literally living in the back of your eyeball, interfering with your vision, and also clears the crud off your cornea and your lens. And so people report they no longer need reading glasses when they do this. They do it once at bedtime for a week is what I recommend. So people have been able to get rid of their reading glasses, and they've been able to improve their eyeglass prescription. So just, it's really amazing.
Just a dab, right? Just a dab.
Just a dab.
Now, when you say a pea size, you're talking about a real kind of real green kind of pea? That's pretty big. Give us a better idea.
Yeah, 1/4 of that. So take that.
That's right, 1/4 of that. Okay, yeah. I Googled VIX and went read some of the background. Pretty amazing. I mean, that thing, yeah. What, 100 years ago or whatever, and they really haven't changed the recipe much. I don't think at all.
Oh, no, because it works.
It works.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the last ingredient in VIX is oil of turpentine.
Now, we have to be precise about this.
Yes, okay.
On the label, there's two parts. There's something called active ingredients. That's stuff that's supposed to help you. Mm-hmm. And then there's something called inactive ingredients. So they have to, by law, list turpentine as an inactive ingredient because it's against the law to give turpentine as a medicine for healing something.
It
has to be listed as inactive ingredients. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad the government's looking out for us?
I am so glad because I don't know what I would do without them.
I just don't know. I would just...
I certainly wouldn't be here. I would not be in Panama, so I appreciate it.
That's right. Yeah, you have to thank them for that, you know, because I'm in a great spot.
I do. I appreciate that, yes.
Okay, let's take a telephone call. Good morning on the phone. Where are you calling from?
Go ahead. Drink borax, and I'm like, oh.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Is this difficult? Come on, let's go. What's up?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Can we help you?
I did the castor oil packs with turpentine, and I was expecting to see something, you know, it was Dr. Daniels was saying that you should be seeing, like, red and black and all this crazy things coming out. Nothing ever came out.
Where did you put these packs?
Okay, stop. Right now, stop. Pause. I do not recommend castor oil packs with turpentine. So, since I don't recommend it, I can't really comment on what any results might be.
So, she didn't recommend that. She didn't.
Yeah, I don't recommend that.
Well, maybe I used the wrong terminology. I just, like, rubbed it in on the kidneys, like, over the kidneys, you know, and rubbed it in. And like, I was expecting to see, you know, stuff in the, you know, coming out because she was saying that...
Coming out where? In your poop or your urine?
Oh, no, not in the poop. In the urine.
No.
No?
No. I wouldn't expect it.
Okay. And the other question was, I had gotten some help from Dr. Daniels, and I appreciated that help. And I wanted to do like spontaneous health, and I just like asked for some like basic information so I could double check that she graduated with that bachelor's from Harvard. And a National Student Clearinghouse, and like she refused to give that information to me, and I wanted to say, you know, I'm sorry if I offended her by asking for that, but you know, $5,000 is a lot of money, so I just wanted to know, like, how come
the only evidence I have is a copy of my certificate, which you received. If that's not evidence enough for you, then let me tell you, you don't need to work with me, because I'm going to ask you to do some stuff that requires an incredible amount of faith. If you don't have that much faith for me to send you a certificate and for you to believe it's authentic, then you need to go work with someone you trust.
Okay,
faith,
is that good?
Based on truth, though.
Okay, well, we're not going to go into this here. Caller, it's Tom. He's having a hard time, whatever it is, you know, God love him. 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Don't you just love live radio? Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream, and there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. And all of the pine pollen, all of the elk velvet antler, the yopan tea, the shaga and the reishi and colostrum are all 10% off. For a limited time, 10% off. Just simply use promo code ONERADIO. Promo code ONERADIO will get you 10% off on all Daniel Vitalis' products. So I'm going to get some colostrum today because I've been needing some of that, and I've been waiting for this sale. Previously, with cancer specialist Dr. Francisco Contreras on rebounding.
There's a study that was done in America with women that exercise 4 hours a week strenuously, and those that had 66 less incidence of cancer of the breast than the women that didn't do exercise. That's how impactful exercise can be.
We've been a big fan of rebounding, these little trampolines, for years.
Rebounding is one of the best, because not only is it not as aerobic as many other exercises, but it is, but it also moves the lymph from within your body. And remember that lymph is the one that's bringing out all of the toxins. And if you don't get it up to your heart and then out through the urine, the toxins stay there. So rebounding is an excellent, excellent form of exercise that just about anybody can do. I mean, we have some 85-year-old people that rebound. It's very easy, even for elderly people, to get on the rebounder and just go up and down. It's an excellent exercise.
Certainly is. The Rebound Air Lifetime Warranty Rebounder. Click and order right now. OneRadioNetwork.com. There's some pretty amazing research on a product that Brandon, the Shen Blossom fellow, ran into about a year ago. And it's all about protecting yourself from all these electromagnetic fields. And now they're doing the 5G thing, which is like crazy. I mean, and it's everywhere. And they want it to be, you know, they want it to be everywhere. And it's called Blue Shield. Now, he researched this product for about a year. As you can imagine, a guy that's putting together ginseng using sake and all this stuff, and he's going to be really careful about that. They have some things that really help with your smartphones mitigate the bad vibes coming out of there. Then they have a nice little unit that you can put in your home that is called the Home Pack. And you can get the Home Pack and also something to take along with you when you drive around. They have an Office Pack. They've got some options there. And these are really technologically been proven to work and to help to protect your body and it works in a very, very interesting way, actually working with the body itself and not trying to block these things coming in. It's pretty fascinating. It's called Blue Shield. You can see the ad right on the front page. If you use promo code ONERADIO, 10% deal. And they're not all that, I mean, they're a little pricey, a little costly, but not out of most people's budget. And it's cool. It's called Blue Shield, and you can check it out, front page of One Radio Network, and you're there.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Our website is VitalityCapsules.com. Get the Candida report there, the Candida Cleanse Jabberdoo, and also Vitality Capsules from Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She's here the second, the last Tuesday of every month. And if you'd like to be on the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. How are you doing on prostates? You up on your prostate information, Doc? Can we do a prostate question?
Yeah, we can do a prostate question.
Okay, here's Jim. His little prostate is enlarged. Oops. How relevant is the PSA number on lab results for an 81-year-old? Thanks for your help.
Totally irrelevant.
That was easy. Yeah. What is a PSA thing anyway?
It's a prostate-specific antigen, and it's a measurement of a protein that is secreted by the prostate as well as the bones. And so when it's elevated, well, hey, where'd it come from? I don't know. And so it's a lot of misleading, irrelevant results. Also, it can be elevated when there is no prostate cancer. The other thing to understand is men who have prostate cancer live longer than men who do not have prostate cancer.
Come on. No, you didn't, really.
Hey, I looked it up.
That's right. Really? So if they say to somebody they have prostate cancer, the people that don't do anything, they do better?
Correct. 10-year survival. 10-year survival is 100%. I mean, come on. If someone tells you you have prostate cancer, throw a party. I say it's time to celebrate.
Okay, here's Tammy. She's in Michigan. Would you please...
Now, just wait. One more thing about that. The average life expectancy for a male in the United States is 78.7 years. Yeah. This guy is already 81. The only thing a doctor can do for him is to kill him and bring him back down to 78, right? So just kill him on the spot. So if you're over 78 or exceeded the average life expectancy for your gender, then you need to just stop going to the doctor.
Stop it. Stop
it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Would you please ask Dr. Daniels about if she has any ideas of I have a torn rotator cuff and my hip socket clicking with pain when I walk. She's got some things going on structurally here, huh?
Absolutely. All right, so what's going on here? Why has this person got this stuff going on? The key here is that the rotator cuff is torn. That's important to know. So the only reason for the rotator cuff to be torn, well, one would be trauma, but I'm going to guess this person has not had trauma. So the reason for the rotator cuff to be torn is that the person's immune system is not fixing or repairing it very quickly or quick enough. And so the reason your immune system will not repair that quick enough is because you're not eating what you've got to eat to fix that cuff. Now, another hint is his hip is also giving him a little trouble. So the body's made a decision. Okay, we're going to leave that rotator cuff. We're not going to fix that. Let it tear. Okay, oh, this hip, well, it's going to, I'm not going to fix that. We can't do that either. And so you can expect, if he does nothing, that there's going to be another joint, probably a weight-bearing joint, maybe the other hip or one of his knees, that's going to go out on him. So the answer, you could eat gelatin. 1/4 cup a day is the dose. It's a pretty hefty dose. That's a hefty dose because you got a lot to fix here. And what's not showing up yet is that the body is weakening all the joints throughout the body. And it's just letting a couple of joints fail. And those joints are going to keep failing one at a time until he's going to go, oh my God, I'm falling apart. So that's one thing. Turpentine does help with that because once your body stops making these repairs, things start deteriorating. Parasites move in, start nibbling and eating at things, and you get pain, and then it's just out of hand. So the turpentine would definitely help to stop the parasites from eating up these joints that are not being repaired. And then the gelatin would help make the repairs.
The gelatin. We have the Great Lakes gelatin in our store. We have the red can and the green can. Since you're a purist, you're a red can because it's less processed.
I'm a red can person, yes.
You're a red can processed. Does it, nutritionally, I guess you're getting some good stuff there too, if I remember reading the can?
It's not a lot. You're just getting the protein that is in the tendons, that would be in the tendons, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Pretty cool. And I think if I remember, a friend of mine did some research, and they're pretty clean cows, too. They're not cows that are all drugged up.
Correct. They try and use pretty clean cows. Yeah. They're not organic, but at least they're free of hormones and antibiotics.
Stuff like that, yeah. Pretty fun. You think it helps people, collagen in their face, to keep their little face happy, too? I guess it would.
It does help, yes, it does help with the face. Now, you can go hardcore and eat pig's ears, but a lot of Americans aren't ready for that. They're not ready for that transition.
Pig's ears, you mean, because they have the collagen?
They have a lot of collagen and cartilage.
Like chicken feet, even more than chicken feet?
I have difficulty with chicken feet because when they're in the pot, they stick up and look like little baby's fingers and toes.
I know, it's like, ooh.
So I haven't been able to get by the chicken feet.
It's like bad movie,
the
man.
The ears, it's like, yeah. A horror film.
I'm with you, boy. I just don't like the looks of them. They just look weird.
So I haven't been able to get that far into the chicken's feet.
Yeah.
So with the pig's ears, you can put them under the water, weight them down with a plate and a rock, and you know, you don't have to see too much.
So do you make like a soup of the little piggy ears, like a bone broth thing? Or
You actually make what's called an aspic, or a tureen.
Oh.
So it is so rich in gelatin, it literally gels up even stiffer than Jell-O does.
Wow. Man.
And then you slice this, and you eat a slice at a time. And the slices are basically a cross-section of the ears. And you can see that through the full length and width of the ear is a layer of cartilage and collagen. And for me, it's totally reversed and wiped out those little wrinkles at the side of your eyes.
I'll be darned. I guess with folks with the joints and stuff like this, this would be magical stuff, huh? Can you even buy, where would you buy pig's ears with pigs that haven't done a lot of drugs, I wonder?
Well, if you're in the United States, they've almost outlawed your access to pig ears.
Really?
That's unfortunate. If you live here, well, you just go to the butcher and say, hey,
right. Give me those ears, man.
And he'll say, I got to save them up for you. I only get 2 per pig. I say, okay. When you want me to come back? Oh, come back in 4 days. I'll have a couple pounds for you. Okay. So that's the way you do it if you live in a third world country or a second world country, however you want to look at that. In the first world country, the government has, for your safety, of course, helped you to not have access to these things.
I know a couple at the farmer's market here in Dripping Springs that they have really clean pigs. They don't even feed GMO grain when they get, I mean, they're really into it. So I'm going to ask them about pig's ears. I've never seen it on their menu if they sell them, but pretty cool. Just overall, though, pigs, you know, with the whole religious thing and, you know, because they eat anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything to all that? I mean, if we can find clean bacon, I mean, can't you? I mean,
I'm not going to speak against anyone's religion. So religion means you believe, and you believe, well, because you believe.
Right.
So that's it. You believe because you believe. So there's not, I mean, you can't rationally attack a belief. It's like a premise. You accept a premise or you don't. So that's I think, pretty much the end of that.
Oh, but I see the idea of the unclean and the what do they call the hooves? What do they call that when they have these?
The cloven hooves.
Yeah, but this more of a spiritual.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a spiritual thing. It comes down to, you know, do you believe the virgin birth version of things? If you do, then you do. And it's not a matter of is it right, is it wrong, did it happen,
was it
like
that?
No, it's what you believe.
Yeah.
So if you believe it, then that's the end of that. I'm not going to sit here and logically refute anything because there's no place for logic in that.
But overall, just because pigs eat a lot of
If you don't have a religious objection to pork, then there are a lot of health benefits to eating certain parts of the animal under certain circumstances in certain amounts. That's if you don't have a religious objection to it. If you have a religious objection to it, then you have a religious objection to it. Let's say that. Yeah.
Say, religious, we'll put that aside, just pig in general, are there any more precautions you have eating pork than beef or chicken or something like that?
Yes. And so that's where turpentine comes in. Hmm. And so the question then is, well, it's pig's filthy. Well, you're going to pick up, there's worms, there's a cyst, there's this, there's that. Yes, there are. And so now that's the other missing piece of the puzzle. Why did people, for so many hundreds of years, take turpentine regularly? Answer, because they did eat meat products. And this made the meat products safe, having a regular ingestion of turpentine. And so it's just piecing together, piece by piece, this whole incredible puzzle. Now, the other thing you can ask is, why, Dr. Dan, why the pig? Why can't you recommend some beef? Huh? How about some beef?
How about a cow, man?
And the answer, how about a cow?
How about a cow?
And the answer to that is the cow parts that would help you from a health point of view are outlawed for sale in the United States. Now, in my country, where I'm living now, I can go to the store and I can buy a cow leg. And that's got incredible collagen and... things are going to make my hair grow, make my skin beautiful and strong, and, you know, replenish my collagen and reverse aging. But in the United States, you can't buy that.
A whole leg, you mean?
I buy it. They slice it in horizontal slices, so you get a cross-section little round disc.
Wow.
So you can buy, you know, a little half pound, quarter pound, 1 pound, whatever. Mm. But again, you can't make this purchase in the United States. And there's another problem in the United States, you have this industry called the leather industry. And so the skin of the cow can be sold for leather to make a, $3,000 designer purse. And so that makes it so you really don't economically have the option of eating cow skin because of the high economic value it has with your clothing, like for leather jackets and leather purses and so on. And so the other problem in the United States is there are not enough people who raise their own animals. I mean, if you raise your own pig or you raise your own cow, who's to tell you what part you can eat, what part you can't eat?
Right, sure.
And so because people are not engaged in the preparation or procurement of their food, literally the food is processed before it even gets to their plate. Choices are made that deprive them of nutrients that would improve their health.
There's an Amish farmer up in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania, that we've talked to a couple times. And he regularly gets visits from the federales because he sells organs, pig brains and stuff. And they don't like it. They just don't like it.
So I've been trying to get pig brains down here in Panama. And so, doctor, we kill the pig by taking a saw right down the center. And that saw right down the center destroys the brain, so we can't sell you the brain. So there are no pig brains to be sold. So now I have to go to individual farmers that don't use that method of execution, let's say. And so it's been a real journey. So I've been looking for about a month now. So I'm getting close. I expect to find a pig brain the next week or two.
There you go. Let us know. We had a chef on who lives up in Maine, Doc, last week, and he gave us a really nice little recipe to make pate out of beef liver. I think it's really going to be tasty, you know, a nice way to get liver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty fun. I'm going to try it anyway. Please ask Dr. Daniels what she recommends for adults and children to prepare for cold and flu season. Oh, she's been watching way too much TV. I'll go ahead. Sorry, I just had to throw it in. Floating cold and flu season are just around the corner.
Oh, yes.
Right? Go to Walgreens and we'll give you a shot. Oh,
okay. Okay, so let's talk about the flu.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the cold. So the flu. There are, so the flu testing that has been done in the United States has shown at best 15 people out of 330 million get the flu every year. So your chances of getting the flu are about 1 in 3 million at best. So, in fact, let's see, 15 into 300, holy crap, it's 30 million. So 1 in 30 million is your chances of getting the flu. So that's one thing. The next thing is, if you get the flu, what are your chances of, well, dying of it? The answer, just about zero. So all these people who, when they measure the statistics, they include flu and pneumonia. And so it's 50,000 people a year. But this pneumonia is hospital-acquired antibiotic-resistant pneumonia. They don't tell you that. And so they lump in the diseases caused by the medical system with the flu diseases to get the number big enough to scare you. So the truth of the matter is, your chances of getting the flu, one, dying of it, two, are just about zero. So I would just ignore the flu issue. So what's the cold issue? So the cold issue means you have a cough or a sneeze or a runny nose, but it's not the flu. And so what is it? It's your body trying to cleanse because of constipation, because the weather is getting cold and your circulation is not as good. So the way to get around that is get your Candida cleaning report, poop 3 times a day, take turpentine, and that's it. Goodbye, cold.
Goodbye, cold. Emailer says, you talked about earlier, I believe that leeks are among some of the best prebiotic foods feeding probiotics.
There you go. They're not probiotics.
They're prebies. Right. They're prebies. Oh.
They may be prebiotics, but they're not probiotics. You are not going to get good bacteria in your gut by eating leek. Now, you may feed the ones you already have,
Yeah. But
you will not be introducing any.
Here's a 61-year-old lady who has very, very low estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Instead of doing the compounded hormones, bioidentical for my DO, there's some ideas I could do. She has a DO that wants to put her on bioidentical hormones.
Now, DOs are licensed just like MDs are, and so they are obligated to follow the standard of care. So just because you have a DO doesn't mean it's any different than the MD. It's not. All right, so if we go back to our previous answer to the cholesterol question, we know why her hormones are so low. Her hormones are so low because she's not eating high enough cholesterol in her diet. So all she has to do is increase cholesterol in her diet, and her fat cells, liver cells, will create all the estrogen that she needs at her age.
So what is that, meat, eggs, butter, cheese?
My favorite cholesterol source is liver.
Liver.
Calf, liver.
Hmm. What do you do? Do you cook it up with onions and stuff?
That's it. Salt, pepper, and onions.
Yeah. My doctor would like to remove my son's adenoids to help him breathe better. There must be a more natural way to do that than cutting them out, says Debbie.
That's true. And the other question is, if the adenoids are removed, would he breathe better? I don't know. So he's got swollen adenoids and probably swollen tissue in his nasal passage as well, and that's from something that he's eating. Usually it's dairy. That would be milk, cheese, ice cream, something along those lines. So the first thing you do would be to stop eating those. The next thing you do would be to increase his bowel movements, then take another check of his diet to get rid of all the processed foods and any additives. So if it has preservatives, artificial color, artificial flavor, even natural flavor, then he shouldn't be eating it. Just feed him regular basic food without chemicals added. And that should go away very nicely.
It seems a little extreme, just say, Ma'am, we're going to cut out your son's adenoids so he can breathe better.
It's a standard of care. It's not extreme. It would be extreme to change his diet.
Oh.
Yeah. We've been taught in medical school, you can't have these parents changing the kid's diet. Why let the kid be a kid? Well, that's too strict. That's parental abuse and interference. These parents are too, controlling.
Really?
And so in other words, but the saying is, let this kid be sick and let us earn a living, for Christ's sake.
They teach you that in medical school?
They teach us that in medical school. Any person who tries to exert their parental authority is being unreasonable.
Yeah. Did you get in a lot of trouble, like, questioning some of this stuff?
Well, I just asked clarification questions. I didn't question the logic of anything.
Hmm.
I said, what should the mother do? Tell me what should I be telling her to do?
Right.
What should I tell her not to do? Well, we can't tell you all that, but mother does this. Well, she's just overly controlling. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
4 years of that, huh? 4 years.
Yeah, but it's not a very scientific answer, right?
No, of course.
We've done research showing that when mothers try to take candy from their kids, a kid, masturbates too much and grows up to be poorly adjusted. They didn't try to even give a scientific nonsense answer to it. They just said, this is too controlling. Okay, all right, got that.
What fun. Oh, God. Would you please ask Dr. Daniels if she recommends taking vitamin C to bowel tolerance? If so, how does she advise to do this? From Kathy.
I think it's okay to take vitamin C to bowel tolerance. I used to recommend it a lot, like a lot.
Did you?
But now I realize that it's often not necessary. So what's the vitamin C really doing? The vitamin C is getting... the bowels to move a little more. It's neutralizing toxins. It's helping with cartilage protection. But what's it protecting it from? Answer, parasites. So if I use turpentine and vitality capsules, then you pretty much you don't need the vitamin C. And so I use it less and less. And also, so many people now have such delicate intestines that even a half teaspoon of vitamin C, it irritates their stomach long before they even get any diarrhea from the vitamin C. So many people now, because their digestion is so compromised, are just absolutely not able to take it. But if you're one of those rare birds where you've got a strong digestion, then just start with a teaspoon and a cup of water and just keep increasing it every day by a half teaspoon. And once you get loose stools, then you cut back to the prior dose.
A friend of mine is a distant Indian, kind of part Indian, and 81, and strong as an ox, and he eats really clean. His wife feeds him really good organic food. But, man, this guy can eat anything, and he just feels great. Mm-hmm. What a blessing that is, isn't it? To have that strong constitution. Wow.
Oh, I think the thing, we envy people who have these strong constitutions. And I used to think, I have a weak constitution. I have a weak constitution. Then I started eating these unspeakable animal parts. And now, I'm strong.
Unspeakable animal
parts. I can run up and down the hill. I can go here, go there. And I got my bodyguard driver. I said, I don't need the car. I'm walking to town myself, thank you. And no, you don't have to pick me up. I'll climb right back up the hill. Of course, I can call them if I get stuck, but I haven't got stuck. So, all this stuff about people with a strong constitution, you can change your constitution. You don't have to be weak and frail and fearful.
Certainly. You certainly can. You can. But we, as a culture, we're not brought up to eat any kind of pieces, parts, just
yes.
Right? T-bones, right? And ribeye, boy, just eat that muscle meat. But if you look out in the wild, I've seen those, videos and stuff. The first one at the prey, they eat all the organ meats, don't they?
And they get the liver.
They get the liver.
Not the organ meats, the liver. So the lioness kills the prey. And I've watched those videos. Yes, I have.
They get the liver.
And the lion takes a lion's share of that liver, chomps it down, says, you guys can eat the flesh meat. I'm the king. I get the liver.
Yeah, hey, dude, just hey.
And it's a tough to think about that. What's
I know.
Going on there?
It's like, what's going on there is right. I think it happens in the wolf world as well. And
oh, yeah. That's a common thing, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. You guys have the ribeye. I think I'm going to do liver tonight. So,
yep.
I have a question about the appendix, writes Jackie. Couple have their appendix out because it has inflamed. Doctors always act like you need surgery now because it's life or death. I'm wondering what someone who doesn't go to a regular doctor could do at home with an inflamed appendix, and how can you and how can you prevent this, and what's going on with an inflamed appendix?
Without fail, the so-called inflamed appendix is caused by meat eating and by constipation. So those are the two things that cause it to be inflamed. Literally, the appendix is clogged up with poop. And these organisms, which normally occur in your poop, which normally get expelled into the toilet, are stuck there for an excessive amount of time, and they create problems by nibbling away and eating at the appendix, causing what we call inflammation. That's basically the story.
Overconsumption. So, overconsumption of meat?
Of meat and not enough bowel movements. So to prevent appendicitis, all you need to do is drink water and have bowel movements. That's pretty much the cure right there, of the prevention. But what about the cure? What if you actually have appendicitis?
Yeah.
You know, all the medical signs, pain around the belly button, migrating to the lower right quadrant, becoming so severe that when you touch the left side, the right side hurts. This is all classic appendicitis symptoms. So the insurance companies are now in control of the medical industry. And so they decide they're going to do some research. How necessary is surgery, really? They took these people with appendicitis who came to the emergency room, divided them randomly into two groups. One group, no surgery. The other group, surgery. What they found was in the no surgery group, only, 30%, 30 to 40% needed to later get surgery.
Oh.
And so now surgery is no longer the routine recommendation for appendicitis. And they're not taking the appendices out. I had my appendix removed just because the doctor had the abdomen open. So let me just take this out so it won't give me any trouble.
While we're in here.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, while we're in here. Yeah.
That's
exactly. My wife, I'm lucky he left the uterus and ovaries. And he's just like, oh, let's just take this out. And he didn't think I left the gallbladder. But this is the adage. So scientifically speaking, the latest medical evidence is there is no need for surgery for appendicitis. The treatment for appendicitis in Asia, in China, is simply to put the person at bed rest and have them do a water fast for about 3 days, and it clears up.
That'll be done.
So there's all the evidence is that there is no need for surgery for an inflamed appendix.
Take a phone call. Hi, where are you calling from? Hello on the phone.
Hi, Patrick. It's Nancy in Nebraska.
Hi, Nance. Go ahead. We're good. Go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Daniels.
Hi, Dr. Daniels.
Hello.
I had sent an email in earlier, but you kind of bleeped out, so I don't know if you already read this email or not.
Oh, we did, about the hormones, right? I believe that's your email. Yeah, it cut out on you. Yeah, Doc, she was talking about cholesterol. You want to tell her quickly, Doc, what you said?
This was a lady. Eat some liver. Eat some liver. It'll replenish your testosterone and your estrogen and your progesterone, and it will be balanced.
Just eating liver?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I have my little, I did buy some liver, and it's in six little pieces here. It's calf liver or beef liver. Is it better with the beef liver or the calf liver?
The calf liver is what you want. The beef liver can actually make you sicker.
Oh.
Really?
Well, the beef liver has all the chemicals and poisons and parasites from the whole animal in its lifetime stored. So you want to get the youngest animal you can, which would be a calf.
Oh, okay. So eat calf liver. That's it?
And on last week's show, we gave you a great recipe how you can make your own pate with that, Nance. So listen to that. Doctor, or not doctor, but Chef Frank.
Yeah, I heard that, and I do want that recipe.
Cool.
So, okay.
All right.
Well, all right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
That was easy. All right. We'll save some money there. I don't go back to the deal. Vanessa,
yes!
That's right. Knocking them out of business one duck at a time. Excuse me. I'm being silly. Vanessa, she's in Canada. She writes about stem cell treatments. I'd like to get your opinion. Apparently, there's a place in the United States where you can go and pay pretty big bucks to take your own stem cells and they do some kind of treatment on them and then reinsert them to the spine. Sounds a little painful to me and expensive. A friend and her husband both had this done. want to know Dr. Daniel's opinion on this.
Well, of course, I think you should stay focused. What is it you're trying to fix by doing this? So if it's being put in the spine, it might be the person has low back pain or something. So pretty much, okay, so I said, well, let me look into, maybe there's something to the stem cell thing, you know? So I started going to these stem cell sites and looking up what they're doing, and they said just what you said. And they said, well, now stem cells don't work alone. You've got to eat a good diet. You've got to drink plenty of liquids. You've got to have your, you know, clear out those bowels. And Back up. They're just basically saying you need to do all the natural stuff to cure that you'd have to do, even though you're getting a stem cell injection. So stem cell injection amounts to placebo.
Yeah, I've had people that done the stem cell thing, and not a lot happened.
Get back to belief. You can do whatever you believe in. If you're just trying to get healthy, then there's really not a marginal benefit to stem cells.
Yeah. This lady said, how do we eat this cooked liver? Lions don't cook their food. They don't cook their liver. Should we eat it?
Well, there's a lot about lions that are different from you. Lions have a much shorter intestine. That liver gets out much more quickly.
Yeah.
And I believe lions probably don't even live as long as you do. So the you cook the liver because you don't want the ill effects of the parasites. There's a lot of parasites. So I'm from Syracuse, New York, and so this big raw food movement just took off. And so people started eating raw liver. And this one lady who ate raw liver got a parasite, and she literally suffered like 15 years with that parasite.
Hmm.
And so raw liver does have its hazards.
Jim wants to know, is there any way I can shrink my enlarged prostate?
Yes, you can shrink your enlarged prostate by not eating grocery store packaged food. So there's a guy down here, he lives on the beach, and he'd walk along the beach and buy a piece of fish from the fish guy, and then walk a little further, get some vegetables from the vegetable guy, and get a bag of rice at the grocery store, and that's what he ate. But he had some business in the States, so he caught a plane back to the States to take care of his business. He was in the States for 2 weeks, and his prostate swelled up. And when he flew back to the beach and started living his beach life, it shrunk up and everything cleared up, and he was able to pee and do everything he wanted without trouble. So the enlarged prostate is totally a product of what you're eating.
Prostate. Can turpentine help? One more and then we'll go. Can turpentine help with toenail fungi applied topically? Sorry if you've answered this before. Toenail fungi. It should work, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it does. But you have to. I would recommend soaking it in the honey, vinegar, Epsom salt solution I mentioned earlier. And that's going to remove all of the thick crust and stuff so the turpentine can get in there at the fungus a lot easier.
Right.
Now, the other thing that helps is the reason why you have fungus in your nails is because you have poor circulation down there. So if you will eat ginger and turmeric and cayenne, then that'll improve the circulation to your toes, and that will accelerate your progress.
Ah, poor circulation. They're just not happy. Yeah. Ginger, right. Turmeric, and cayenne.
Yeah.
Finally, what would be a good way to pony up on gelatin, right, Steve? How would you take more of it other than just kind of globbing it down?
I mean, what food could you eat?
Yeah, could you make Jell-O or some other recipe?
Oh, no. Okay, I got it. No, you just have to dilute it. The other problem is gelatin can cause constipation, so you've got to make sure you dilute it enough. So a quarter cup of gelatin, you've got to dilute that in anywhere from a cup to a quart of water. So it's a project, but it does work. As far as the taste goes,
it's not too
bad. I've gone so far. No, it's pretty bad. Once you get to a quarter cup, it's pretty bad. A tablespoon, but a quarter cup, oof. So I would, I've actually gone so far as to add a little bit of sweetener and lemon juice to it to make a little kind of a lemonade-y type flavor. because it is hard to get down, but it does work very well.
But the quarter cup is what, if you really have, you really want to do some serious repair
work. You got a joint. Yeah, you have a joint that's got to be
quarter cup is a lot.
Now, what I do now is gelatin tastes so bad and it's so messy and it's so disgusting, the texture. Then I said, well, what does gelatin come from? And so I actually eat the pig ears, the ham hocks, and the pig's feet. It's much easier.
Yeah.
And tastes better.
Much more fun, and too, you know.
Also, the results are quicker. Mm-hmm. They're quicker and more thorough.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Daniels, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for all your time. And your website, vitalitycapsules.com. You can get the Candida Cleaner Report and also, of course, order your Vitality Capsules and also do a, what do you call those sessions? Do you have a name for them?
Discovery session.
Discovery. Discover how bonkers you really are and she'll help you. All right, dear. Thanks a lot. Have a good day and have fun going up and down the hill. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We're going to talk about this sauna Phil Wilson's going to call me up here. Previously, a caller from California talked about the wildfires and the rebounder.
She was talking about our issues with the wildfire smoke here and our lymph nodes backing up. But your rebounder, that really, I think, has been very helpful, just going and doing like you said you do. You bounce a couple of minutes every hour or so. I really feel like that has benefited me quite a bit in getting the lymph flowing around, because we're both real active. We're runners and cyclists, and with the smoke, you don't want to go out and suck a lot of that deep into your lungs, so it's really nice to have that available to just go a little, bounce a couple minutes every hour to help move things around. And you can feel it. I mean, to me, when I start noticing that the back of my head's getting kind of plugged up, and I can feel, my neck tightening up and that kind of stuff, I just go down there and I'll hop on it and bounce for 2 or 3 minutes, and I can really feel the flow just start moving again.
Yes, these are really nice units. Lifetime warranty, too. The Rebound Air Rebounder, you can click and order on the front page of our website. And $339 delivered, Continental U.S. Live outside of there, just email me and we'll work it out. Click and order, front page, the Lifetime Warranty Rebound Air Rebounder, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better, my joints feel better, I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
You can click on the One World Way banner ad right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.